I want to remind you, Galatians chapter 5 is where we'll be going today. If you have your Bibles, want to be turning there. But I do want to draw your attention, if you haven't already seen it, I'm sure you did. There's two people's picture on the back of the bulletin that I don't recognize, but you might. But I did want to draw your attention to it because that is the thank you note we wrote. And I want to say again how much we appreciate what everybody did for us last week. Somebody asked me coming in the door a while ago, they said, are we going to beat last Sunday? I said, I don't think we're going to beat last Sunday. In fact, it'll be a long time, if ever, that you'll beat last Sunday. What a wonderful day it was. And we appreciate the church thinking about us and the blessing it was. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I'll begin reading, and I'll read through verse 25. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, that's a message within itself. He said, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so they cannot do the things that they would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things should not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are of Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Our Father, Lord, today we thank you for the opportunity to be here. Lord, again, what a wonderful subject in the Bible that's given to us, the person of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, we thank you for you loving us, creating the world. Thank you, Lord, for your Son who gave his life on the cross of Calvary in order that we might have salvation. But Lord, we thank you today, probably more so interacting with the Holy Spirit than any of the three in the Godhead, although they're all three in one. Can't describe it, just believe it and understand it. But the Holy Spirit has been placed here for us in this time that we're here, living out our time till the Lord comes back. And Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts. I pray that you give us wisdom, strength, and help. I pray that your name would be exalted, lifted up, and glorified. And Lord, help us today to get a glimpse again of the importance of walking in the Spirit. In Jesus' name we ask and pray, amen. If we were to take serious time and begin to study in the Bible between the early church of the church in Acts and then begin to read in the church of our day, I believe we'd find a vast difference, a great difference, if you would. In fact, verses like Acts 2:47, I just marked that a while ago, 2:47, he said, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. What a wonderful thing it is to see people get saved and born again with the Spirit of God. But I tell you, we're not meeting up to the same standard or the same goal as the early church was, because they were having thousands saved. Nowadays, we're good every now and then to see somebody get saved, and a blessing it is. But I believe we've come a long way from where the early church was. The modern church is not anything near like the early church that existed. Dr. R.A. Torrey once said, if the Holy Spirit had been removed from the early church, now listen to this, if the Holy Spirit had been removed from the early church, 95% of what they did would have stopped immediately. But if he were removed from the modern church, 95% of what we do would continue on without any interruption. And I tell you, that's the truth today, to understand that it's just about that way anymore. I tell you, church ought to be a special place. Our lives ought to be special. We ought to love the Lord. We ought to desire to be indwelt by the Spirit. I think of men through the Bible and even others. I think of Peter, John, Paul. Then men such as Charles Spurgeon, John Wesley, Jonathan Edwards, George Whitfield, and Billy Sunday. Now, if you think about these people, you said those people were so different. You're right, they were different. And somebody say, well, they were kind of weird, or maybe they were abnormal. And I would agree with you today that they're abnormal, because most people that are serving the Lord today are considered abnormal. But the normal ones are the ones that just go about, play church, and go through the motions of doing what they think need to be done. When I think of an unusual Christian, or an abnormal Christian, if you would, here's what I think of. I think of normal believers are those who every day struggle with sin, failure, and disobedience. I don't know anybody today, I don't think. If it is, meet me after service, I'd like to talk to you, that don't deal with sin in our life. And if you don't, you better be checking up because you need to confess it every day. Deal with failure. There's nothing wrong with failure as long as you get up and go again. Yes, abnormal Christians struggle with sin, with failure, struggle with disobedience. They also struggle with being dry, lifeless, complacent, and apathetic. Abnormal believers are ones that have, abnormal believers are those who have left their first love. And one of the miracles of the new birth is that dead sinners can be made alive and given the person and the power of the Holy Spirit of God to work in his life. We've been saved, and I have a great capacity today, and you do too. Now, I know I'm getting old, and I have problems sometimes. I stumble a little bit, not able to say what I want to say. But I can tell you this, I have somebody that's still willing to help me if I'm willing to let him help me. And that's the person of the Holy Spirit of God. We have wonderful facilities. We have great resources. Do, I guess, pretty good for the day. We have decent numbers. But we're living in a day, and listen, I'm not condemning. I'm just saying and telling you the truth. But we don't see the power of God in our day like they did in the early church. And not only in the early church, but even 10, 15, 20 years ago, we've gotten away from allowing God to work in and through our lives. There was a day when the church enjoyed the manifest presence and power of God. Some of you remember the days when the church enjoyed God's power, God's presence, when preachers preached and conviction fell upon them about sin. You see, people come to church, they want to most times, sometimes, they want to be entertained. They want you to tell them something good. I'll tell you something good. Jesus died on the cross for your sin. But I'll tell you something greater than that. Not greater than that, surely not. But something as great as that is the fact of us, he's given us the capability and the capacity to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And today, a lot of times, we don't understand that and we can't grasp a hold of it. But if somebody says to me, I can't do it. I went through that years ago saying, I can't do it. And then I remembered, I read a verse. And you know what it said? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And I don't care who you are. And it makes no difference where you live, what your age is. God has enabled us that are saved by the grace of God to be empowered by the Spirit of God to experience His power and His presence in our life. There used to be a day when being a Christian meant being holy. Jesus said, be holy for I am holy. But I tell you, we've got away from that, being great terms. He said, be ye holy, be separated. He said, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Listen today, God wants Christians to live like Christians. He wants Christians to act like Christians. He wants Christians to look like Christians. He wants people to set an example because he has given us the Holy Spirit of God. Had he left us here without that resource, we would be in trouble. Thank God today he didn't leave us here alone. He's given us what we need. We're living in the days when church is doing everything in its own power. Don't misunderstand me. I'm so thankful for the activities, things we had a couple of weeks ago. We had Water Day. What a wonderful time we had last Sunday, and I appreciate everything that was done for us. But you know, today most people garner their church. It's just the end justifies the means. Whatever we do, they can dumb down the message. They changed the music. They abandoned many of the hallmarks that identified fundamental believers, people that believe. Now, the modern church looks nothing like the church that was a couple of decades ago. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Not all changes are bad. I promise you, since I started the ministry, there's been some changes. I've made changes. I've allowed changes. Things that I did not feel would hinder or hurt the work and worship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And by the way, what other churches choose for their music and other things, that's none of my business. It's just my business here at Victory Baptist Church. I want music that lifts up, exalts, and praises the name of Jesus. Wasn't that good, the choir this morning? I tell you, wasn't it good last week? We almost got raptured out. I thought he was coming. I tell you, what a wonderful day we had last week. But what disturbs me is the modern church are trading what seem to be essential for things that are fleeting, fast moving away from us. It bothers me that a lot of churches would rather curry favor with the world and with men than with the Holy Spirit of God. I tell you today, there's a lot of cases churches have become more interested in entertaining. And by the way, that's one thing we don't do, and I don't want you to misunderstand me. Some people come, and if other churches do it, that's with them. But normally when a person sings like Cal just sung, we don't clap. Now, if it's the little children, we give a little bit of leeway and let you clap for them. But we don't actually say, what's wrong with clapping? There's nothing wrong with clapping. But I don't want the music to become entertainment. I want the music to speak to the heart and allow me to meditate on it and think about it. And that's the kind of music I want, and I believe God would bless it. The early church, modern church, is a far cry from the early church. We want people, we want saved people to step into an alien environment when they come here. I like the fact that people come to visit us and they say, y'all got a friendly church. I already knew that, but it's a blessing and a testimony when people tell you that. But in all reality, our church ought to be different than every church. When you walk in, you ought to maybe feel something a little bit different. Not bad, but good. When a person enters into this church, they should be comforted with the gospel and the power of the Holy Ghost of God. They should be met with music that glorifies God, lifts up the Son, and glorifies the Holy Spirit which indwells us. Give us that, and it would forever change the landscape of the church. What we need today is we need God's power. And we'll never have God's power apart from the Holy Spirit of God. I can assure you of that. We need His presence. We need His glory. We need Him and what He can do for us. We don't need anything else. We need God. We need the power of God. We need the work of God in our life. Friend, today I'm grateful that we've come to a place in our life, or at least I trust we have, to where we understand we're on Jesus' terms now. We've been saved. We've been bought with a price. He said, therefore glorify Him in your body, which is His. Sometimes, and again, I appreciate those of you that are faithful to church. Sometimes it's kind of hard for people to get to church. But I'm grateful today that I'd be lost without being at church. And today I understand that. Paul is writing about a great spiritual need. I got to move. He's calling for a higher standard. Basically what he's calling for is a Spirit-filled life. Now today somebody said, well, I got the Spirit when I got saved. Now, you did get baptized in the Spirit. And the Spirit takes up residence in your heart and in your life. But there's a difference between being saved and baptized with the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. And God commands us, according to His Word, to do it. Let me move quickly. Number one, I want you to see what this teaches us about a Spirit-filled life. The first thing we notice is the path of a Spirit-filled life. Notice with me in verse number 16. Go back there if you would. He said, I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. People say to me all the time, preacher, I can't control my flesh. I can't control my life. If you're saved by the grace of God, you have the capability to control your life. And it's called the person of the Holy Spirit of God that dwells in us, has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. But we cannot give in to the world and the flesh and the devil. We must give in to the Holy Spirit of God in order that He might anoint us and empower us and help us to have the message that He would have us to have. The first thing I want you to notice about it, it's a controlled walk. It's a controlled walk. You say, well, I don't know about that. The word walk means to regulate one's life. Your life can be regulated, not by me, not by my power, but the power that reigns inside of us. If we'll yield control to the Spirit of God, we can walk in the Spirit. If we don't give in, if we don't give in to the Spirit, if we don't seek to be filled with the Spirit, how in the world will we be? The Bible said in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, I'm not going into a great dissertation over this, but I can tell you this, what does alcohol do to you? It controls you. And the bad thing is, controls you in a bad way. It destroys your life. It destroys families. It destroys people on the highway driving and drinking. But he's saying alcohol destroys your life. Be not like that alcohol, but if you let the Holy Spirit control you, he will guide you into all things. Things that you will love and enjoy and that he will be pleased with and satisfied in your life. A control path. If you want to walk in the Spirit, if you want to be filled with the Spirit, you must have a controlled life. Second of all, it's a consistent path. Notice he said, ye are walking. Or he says, walk in the Spirit. That literally is interpreted, and this sounds like something else, but it sounds like it's interpreted in the Greek, and I don't know much Greek other than what I read behind people. But it comes out, ye be walking. Not walk in the Spirit, but ye be walking. Now, I'm not changing the Bible. I'm just telling you the Greek meaning of it. You be walking. You know what that means? You be walking. Today, tomorrow, next week, next year, you keep walking in the Spirit until Jesus comes. And there's no doubt about it, when we do that, our walk will be consistent. You see, today there's no me time, there's only him time. We need to give honor and glory to him for all that he's done. It's not about you and it's not about me. Friend, when Jesus died on the cross, when I accepted him as my personal Savior, he became my all in all. He became my everything. And nothing in my life matters anymore except what he does in and through me. Serving him, I thought of the 50 years of service. And I tell you, I feel again as I did last week, I feel unworthy. I feel I failed the Lord in so many ways. But I can tell you what, it's been a joy to serve God for all these years. And I tell you, that as long as God gives me the breath and the ability, I'm never going to quit serving him. I might not be able to preach, might not be able to do what I'm doing now. But I guarantee you that by the grace of God, I want to be continually filled with the Spirit. I want to be walking. And you and I ought to want to be walking in that way. But not only that, it's a clean path. Go back to verse 16. If you walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, yielding to the Spirit helps you avoid fulfilling the lust of the flesh. The flesh encompasses our nature. Now, I know when we got saved, we got a new body. Well, we got a new heart. Jesus moved into our heart to take up residence, right? So we understand that we got all that. But I'm telling you, this old flesh, it ain't changed much. This old flesh is still out to tear you down and destroy you any possible way he can. And a person that lives apart from God and apart from the Spirit of God is going to be controlled by the lust of the flesh. But if you're seeking the Spirit of God and walking in the will of God, then God will help you in order that you might not fully fulfill the lust of the flesh. The body is energized either by the flesh or the dead spirit of a fallen man by the Spirit of God. The word walking implies progress. How much progress have you made? How much progress have you made in your spiritual life since you've been saved? The Bible said, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, right? And so we're to be controlled by him, walking continually. The word fulfill reminds us that if we're walking in the Spirit, if we're walking in the Spirit, the flesh will lack the power. Be filled with the Spirit means total control. It's not half a glass of water. It's not a three-quarter glass of water. It's a full body of the Spirit of God that will help you not fulfill the lust of the flesh in your life. The path of the Spirit-filled life. That's a good path, if you ask me. The psalmist said, thy word was a lamp unto my path and a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm grateful today that it fulfills that. Then second of all, I want you to see the problems of a Spirit-filled life. Verses 17 through 21. Let's look at verse 17 and 18. Now, first thing, remember verse 16. Get that in your head. Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh if you walk in the Spirit. Why? For the flesh, verse 17, lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. The Spirit of God within and our fleshly natures have two different agendas. Did you hear me? Has two different agendas. The flesh is out to destroy us. The Spirit is out to guide us. Paul uses two words to describe his warfare. He uses the word lusteth. That means to turn on a thing out of a desire to possess it. Doesn't matter, you can lust after anything. But he says it's a desire, it's to turn on a thing out of a desire to possess it. So that's lusteth. In other words, if you look at things you shouldn't look at, you're not fulfilling. You're fulfilling the lust of the flesh, but you're not being filled with the Spirit of God. People say it all the time. Well, you know, I'm a pretty good Christian. That's not the question. The question is, are you filled with the Spirit of God? Have you been filled with the Spirit of God? I believe there's people that are continually filled with the Spirit of God. I know we all fail, but I'm glad today we have an advocate with Him. Then the other word He uses, contrary. He says these are contrary to one to another. They fight against us. It's a tug of war going on. And they're fighting against each other. I remember the illustration about how there was two donkeys, and the farmer tied them together, and he gave one of them a hay stack over here and a haystack over here. And they liked to kill each other, trying to drag the other one over to their haystack because they were trying to get there. There was no control, and there was no straight path. Yet finally, they got smart. A donkey. He got smart. And they went over to one guy's pile, the one donkey's pile, and they ate it. Went over to the, you know why? Because they yielded. And friend, today, if we're going to be what God wants us to be, we've got to yield with the Spirit of God. Listen to what Romans 6:16 said. Know ye not that whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Again, listen, to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey. The flesh and its lust are constant hindrances in the life of the child of God. According to verse 18, he said, but if we are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. In other words, there's nothing we can do to get saved on our own. There's nothing going to get us to heaven except the shed blood of Jesus Christ. If we've been filled with the Spirit and the evidence of there is power, there's a guarantee that we're saved. People say, preacher, how can you know you're saved? I tell you, when I read my Bible, there's a lot of things that tell me I know I'm saved. Because what happens is I become convicted by the things that perhaps I'm doing in my life that I shouldn't be doing. And he leads me back to the place that I need to be. Yet, the Bible says in 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world is not all-compassing, but it does include the three main areas of sin. He said, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. Paul mentions in Matthew 12:35, a good man out of a good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. Evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. In Matthew 15:18-20, but listen, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. It's all what's in the heart. If you're filled with the Spirit of God, your heart is filled with the Spirit of God. Your body is filled with the Spirit of God. They proceed out of the mouth, come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornicators, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are things which defile a man. And it's not just one man, it's every man that is born in this world will be tempted and will have these trials come upon them. And if you as a child of God want to be what you ought to be, you're going to seek to be filled walking in the Spirit of God in order that you don't give in to the lust of the flesh. I've listed all these again and some more, and I'm not going to spend the time. I would like to explain them all, but I don't have time this morning. But he talked about adultery. That's any sexual activity with somebody other than your spouse. He said there's adultery, and there's plenty of adultery all around. He talks about fornication, any sexual sin, uncleanness, impurity in your life, lasciviousness, unbridled lust, giving in to it, watching stuff on television or buying magazines or whatever it might be, those sort of things, lasciviousness, a lack of restraint that manifests its own wickedness, idolatry, having other gods, pagan worship, hatred, a hateful attitude, witchcraft, sorcery, variance, strife and wrangling, emulations, jealousy, wrath, violent outburst, strife, electioneering, striving to put oneself first, seditions, divisiveness, heresies, to storm a city, tag team foundational truth. Envy is jealous with ill will, murder, to kill, to slaughter, either physically or verbally. And I'll just remind you, the Bible said if you say you hate your brother, it's as if you've killed him. There's some other things too. Drunkenness, intoxication. I'm going to tell you, I hate alcohol because I've seen what it's done over 50 years to people's homes. Oh, preacher, just drink a little bit. Well, the Bible tells us to abstain from drinking anything. And we have a responsibility for that. And by the way, what does drunkenness do? It kills, destroys families, destroys people's lives. Revelings, carousing and partying. I'll move on from that, but go back and watch over that list. That's what we don't want. But if we don't want it, we better start yielding to the Spirit of God to work in and through our life. Then we see the warning of the flesh in verse 21, the latter part. I've already read those verses there. Envy and murder, drunkenness, relatives, such like, of which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, what he's talking about here is a lifestyle of sin, a life that consistently manifests itself. I got so much today. I'm going to try to move quick. But what I want you to understand today is we as Christians ought to want to live a consistent lifestyle of a Christian. Now, again, that seems impossible to me, and it should to you. I can't do that. I can't live. I can't always do everything right. No, you can't. Even the Apostle Paul couldn't. The Apostle Paul said, the things that I should do, I don't do. The things I don't do are the things that I should do. He had a time just like you and I. But what he had to do was stay on target, understanding the importance of reading his Bible and praying and seeking God's will and seeking God's face and seeking the Spirit of God and his filling in order that the filling of the Spirit would guide you away from those things. A few weeks ago, I started trying to go on a diet. I've been doing this for years, but I was going to go on a diet. And after a little while, seriously, I got where I couldn't even hardly eat. I wasn't hungry anymore. Now, that ain't never happened before, so I didn't know what was going on, but it happened. But then I realized what was happening. Last week, Susan pulled a pie out of the freezer. And all that sweet stuff makes you crave more. She force-fed that to me. But it sure was good. And so I did that. I said, well, I've already done that, so I'm going to get started in 2 weeks anyway on my diet, and I'm just going to go ahead and enjoy some things. I told her the other night, I said, I'm hungry. She said, you hungry? We just ate. I said, I've come to find out sweets make you hungry. So I got to cut them out again. But it's the same thing with the life. Here's what I'm saying. I don't know if that had anything to do with this, but anyway, kind of, I gave in. And what did it produce? Hunger. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only he can take a life and make it whole. Only he can do that in each and one of life. Jesus changes every life he redeems. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But again, I meant to say something else. I'm glad that there's a God in heaven that when we do fail, and I talked about it at the start of the message, we're all going to sin. We're all going to fail. We're going to go through things in our life. But thank God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, he stands ready to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us, get us back on the clean path. If you get off the path, you don't have to stay off the path. You can get back on the path. But I don't believe somebody that's really saved, born again, will continually stay on the path away from God, giving in to the lust of the flesh forever. I've seen some people sometimes, and somebody say, do you think they're saved? I say, I don't know, because I don't. I have no way of knowing whether a man's saved or not. But sometimes they ask me, said, is that man saved? And in my mind, I was told he was. But for years, he's not darkened the door of the house of God. I've never seen him with a Bible in his hand. I don't have nobody particularly in mind. I'm just giving this as an illustration. He went about his business doing his own thing. Then I would possibly say, good chance he's not saved. Because I don't believe you can continue to sin and get by with it. That's a whole other message, and I don't have time for that. But let me move on. We find today we're conditioned to look back in a moment in time. We've told everybody, just remember a time when you bowed and prayed and asked Jesus to save you. Now, don't misunderstand me. I believe that's exactly what you have to do in order to be saved, is to fall on your knees. You don't even have to fall on your knees. You just bow your head, pray, and ask Jesus to forgive you your sins, to come into your heart and save you and give you eternal life. And if you mean it, God will save you. But I'm telling you, just bowing your head and praying a prayer, and you don't pray from your heart, then I'm sorry, but I don't believe you're saved. I believe salvation comes because there's a desire. I've said this before. I said a person in the back row may come to get saved on Sunday morning, and literally, they may get saved before they ever get to the altar because they've already yielded to the Spirit and to the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to deal with them when they get here and be sure that they understand. I want them to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, but something of praying, Lord, come into my heart and save me. I've been very careful, and I don't want to ever lead somebody just to say a prayer. I believe people have prayed prayers just to get rid of you. I don't want to press them to the point where they want to get rid of me. I want to come back. If they don't get saved the first time, see them get saved the second time. Nowhere does the New Testament call us to look back at a prayer, although I believe it tells us how we are saved through a prayer. Who we are on a day-to-day basis is what's in your spirit. Paul, before King Agrippa, you know what he said? Well, you know, he said, almost thou persuadest me, but he also said, I continue unto this day. Who are you this day? What are we this day? We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When a person is genuinely saved, they do not continually dwell in sin. Now, they will sin, but they don't continually dwell in sin. Thank God for a forgiving God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances. But I tell you, when you keep going somewhere along the line, you got to draw the line and say, I'm going to yield myself to the Holy Spirit of God to control my life. The problems of the Spirit-filled life. And then lastly, the proof of the Spirit-filled life. How can we know that we've been filled with the Holy Ghost? This passage makes it very crystal clear. Verse 22 and 23, we've already read it, but it's worth reading again. But, don't you like it when there's a but in the scripture? You come along, you're reading, and it's real good, but it gets better because that word's added in. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now remember, he's saying, you can have all those other things, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelings, such as like. And I've told you before, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And I want you to know today, that's how you can know you're saved. You see, the Holy Spirit will manifest control of the fruit. And the fruit you bear will make a difference. It'll make a difference in your life. It'll make a difference in your children's life. It'll make a difference in people in your church's life when they see you yielding to the Spirit of God and being controlled by Him. The word work, He gives us there. We think about work implies effort, labor, straining, or toil. Works in the life of unbelievers become natural. If you love the Lord, He said, by their works we shall know them. And I believe people can work and still not be saved. But I believe if you're saved, it'll be evident that you'll work and do what Christ would have you to do. The lost person does not have the right, does not have to be taught how to sin. They know all about it. They live like sinners. They've lived like sinners. They're born sinners. They never realize they're working their way to hell. Literally, they don't understand. But if you're working to get yourself to heaven, you're not going to make it. You're going to make it in hell. Fruit is the product of life. Fruit appears in beauty and quietness. Fruit is literally the unfolding of a life. Fruit is an orchard. The same is true of every life of the believer. We produce the Spirit. We produce the fruit by the Spirit by abiding in Jesus. He said, John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. We abide in Him, He produces his fruit through us. In other words, when he abides in us, fruit just happens. Isn't it amazing how you go out and see a fruit tree, and you go out one day and it's just a little leaf or a little old bud on it, and you don't pay much attention for a couple of days, but one day you go and man, there's a big old apple, big old orange, whatever it is you're growing. And that's the way it is when you fill with the Spirit. That fruit will just burst out before you know it. It'll be good fruit. When we abide in him, he produces the fruit. Fruit in the life of the believer is proof of their spiritual life. If you don't ever see, I'm going to tell you, these are things to consider. You ought to memorize it anyway. Fruit of the Spirit is love. Do you love everybody? Joy. Are you happy for everybody? Peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, such there is no law. Here's what the Spirit will produce if he controls us. These things I've just mentioned, love, willing to sacrificial, unconditional love. But you'll notice also the works of the flesh are plural, while the fruit of the Spirit is singular. He said the works of the flesh, they're plural, meaning many, but the fruit of the Spirit is all those things. You said, I got some of the fruit of the Spirit. I don't think so. I think you either have all of it or you don't have none of it. Because he said the fruit of the Spirit. And we need to be aware of that and understand it as we go through life. By the way, do you know what kind of fruit you're producing? Quickly, let me move and give you the last couple of points. The disciplines of this life, verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. The child of God who yields to the Spirit will enjoy victory in Jesus. Victory in life. This does not mean the old fleshly passion will be gone. It means that while the flesh is alive and well, it has struck a mortal blow to the cross of Jesus Christ. If you're trying to work your way to salvation, you're blaspheming literally what Jesus did on the cross for our sin. Therefore, it does not hold the believer in an inescapable bondage. We're free. We're not under the law. We understand today that when we get saved, we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Verse number 25, the dedication of this life. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. If you're not living in the Spirit, you're not walking in the Spirit. And today we need to understand, Paul summed it up this way. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, now remember, Paul was not always perfect. He admitted it. He said, things I shouldn't do, I do. But you know what he said? In the end, Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If you live in the Spirit, why don't you walk in the Spirit? May we today sense the power, the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we might serve him and love him with all our heart and all our soul. Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the privilege and opportunity.